Hello there, Habit Mechanics, and welcome to a very special shorter podcast, which is intended specifically to help people involved in learning and development roles or working in HR roles in businesses and organizations of all shapes and sizes to help them in their process when they're considering bringing in a keynote speaker to their organization and selecting training and workshops for their people. We're joined, of course, by Dr. John Finn. John, hello there. And I know we want to do this specific podcast to help people because you're hearing more and more reports and getting an increasing amount of feedback that people are not doing well and the help available to them is just not working properly for them and for the organizations.
Yeah, this is the bleak picture that we're seeing. I believe we're living in a period of history where it's harder than ever for people to be healthy and happy. In the UK right now, for example, we have 1.5 million people who are signed off on the sick because they have anxiety and depression. And you can imagine that there's a lot of people who are close, you know, to feeling like they need to be signed off on the sick as well. In the US, there are 58 million adults with a mental health diagnosis. And we can see some real-term economic implications for that as well. So if people get a mental health diagnosis between the ages of 27 to 35, by the time they get to the age 50, their average earnings is 24% lower than people that didn't have a mental health diagnosis in that period. And we're also seeing, for example, in the UK, the National Health Service projecting that in 15 years' time, there will be 9.1 million working-age people with long-term illnesses, including cancer, dementia, but also anxiety and depression. That's a 37% increase from where we are right now. And in 15 years' time, we'll only have an extra 4% of capacity in the workforce. And the extended challenge there for me is that we also live in a period of history where there is more provision and support available than ever before to help people to be at their best. But I think that that support is fundamentally flawed because it doesn't actually help people to do things differently. And therefore, people are still struggling. And we can see in the UK that our economy is being systemically damaged by this. So that means that people's businesses are also being damaged because their people are finding it harder to be at their best. So I think it's really important that we talk about this and we help people to understand what they need to do in order to help their people in a really efficient and effective way.
Yeah. Now, if someone in an HR department or in a learning and development role is then looking around and considering perhaps a speaker or perhaps selecting some training to book and bring into their organization. I know you would cite a very important distinction that they should look to draw. And it's looking for something that helps people to actually implement and take action, do something rather than just knowing more information, which you've highlighted on many occasions that the knowing versus doing argument, if you like, is so important. And I know you have four basic pointers, which we're going to go through, which people can use to think about how they should consider what they see out there in terms of keynotes and training, etc. And the first one is that it should be rooted in cutting edge science, the most updated understanding of how our brains work.
Yeah, and this is the problem with the traditional things that we're using, from self-help to training, coaching, even therapy. It's broadly based on theories that were created before we understood how brains actually work, because we've only been able to look inside human brains for about 20, 25 years. And the basic underpinning of these traditional approaches that are fundamentally flawed is that if you can get people to know what they need to do to be at their best, you've cracked it, you've done your job. But what new insights from neuroscience and behavioral science show is that people don't do what they know they should do, they do what they're in the habit of doing. That's why most people don't walk 10,000 steps a day, or they don't eat 5 portions of fruits and vegetables. And it's why the National Health Service in the UK is currently spending over half its annual budget treating diseases that emerge because people don't do these basic things. And those diseases are not just physical things anymore, they're psychological things. Anxiety and depression is now in that top 10 list of long-term illnesses alongside dementia and cancer. And the foundation of having an engaged, happy, healthy, high-performing workforce is that their brain is working really well. So we have to use those new insights from neuroscience and behavioral science as the foundation. So the first question I'd be asking to anyone I was bringing into my organization to help my people do better would be, how does the brain work? And how is your training going to help, going to help our people to get their brains working better so that they can be healthier and they can be happier, and not just individually, collectively as well. So yeah, it's so key.
Yeah, thank you, John. The second thing I know you would advise people to look for is any material, any training content that helps people to analyze themselves, to self-watch, as you call it. Please talk to us more about that.
Yeah, so it's so key if we want to help people to do better that we can show them how to quickly analyze themselves, but in a really self-determining way. So you will hear numerous high-profile neuroscientists now saying that psychometrics are outdated and they're ineffective and they're about as predictive as horoscopes. And they do more damage than good because they create a really deterministic outlook for people. They make people think that they're fixed and they're limited and they point out all their weaknesses. So we need to, what we actually need to do is give people ways to do what we call intelligent self-watching in a way that's really empowering and makes them really self-determined to go on a learning journey that helps himself to grow and learn and be healthier and happier, not just at work, but also at home. And what we see is when organizations do that for their people really appreciate it because they're getting these, what we call intelligent self-watching tools that allow them to understand themselves more, but not just as an employee, also as a partner, as a parent. And we've obviously created lots of those types of tools. We've created what we call habit metric tools. And anyone that's seen the Habit Mechanic book or used the app or seen our training before will be familiar with those. So we want to give people good, high quality training allows people to quickly understand themselves in a really self-determining and empowering way. And that's something that's always embedded into our keynotes, our training, and our workshops.
Yeah, thank you. Now, the third point of the four that we said we're going to talk through, you mentioned the word tools, and it's important that any tools provided by training, keynotes, etc., are practical and can be implemented by the people on the receiving end.
Yeah,
Of course,
most.
Habit Mechanic system full of practical tools.
Yeah, absolutely, but I think most people's experience of training and workshops is that was interesting. And I like the presenter. They were engaging. There's some interesting ideas there. But what do I actually do now? What can I do to put these insights that I've learned into practice? And that's the biggest complaint that I hear about training is that, yeah, it was good. I was compelled. I needed to do something differently. But then I left the room. I put the notes in my desk drawer and then I've never looked at it again. So, what we need actually is to give people tools. You know, and a way to think about what we've created with the Habit Mechanic approach, it's a bit like a gym where we've got workouts for the brain. And instead of having machines to do that, we've created tools. We've created over 35 tools. So we have tools to help people to build better sleep, diet, and exercise habits, tools to help people manage stress better, tools to help people to build confidence, tools to help people to perform under pressure better, tools to help people regulate their emotions better, tools to help people be more focused and productive, tools to help people supercharge their learning, those people that are having to do professional exams, we have tools very specifically designed to supercharge how they revise and spend their time learning. And of course, we've got tools to help people to build up their team power and tools to help people to become better leaders. So if I'm bringing a trainer and I'm looking for what are the practical tools that my people are going to take away from this so they can actually put these things into practice. Because we don't, if we go back to the idea of knowing, we got them to know what they needed to do. So we've done our job. We don't do what we know we should do. We do what we're in the habit of doing. And there's a step between knowing what you need to do and the habit. And that step is putting things into practice. And tools are the first step to doing that. They give you a framework and a structure to practice thinking differently. Even if it's just something like the daily tea plan or the 3-to-1 reflection, which are just two of over 35 that we've created. So yeah, so the training has to be based on cutting edge insights from neuroscience. When you go to the doctor, you expect them to understand your physiology. It's a prerequisite, right? So when you bring a trainer in that's gonna help your that's been brought in to help. Could be the well-being, the health, the happiness, the performance of your people. That's all driven by their brain. So those trainers need to understand how brains work first and foremost, and also they need to understand the factors that drive human behavior. In other words, the behavioral science. We need to give people quick ways to analyze their behavior, and then we need to give them simple and practical science-based tools that they can quickly put into practice.
Yeah, and the fourth and final, if you like, pointer we flagged up at the start, and we want people to look for, of course, is perhaps more strategic and ties the other three together. They should look for something that teaches people or gives people a pathway to start building new helpful habits for the long term.
Yeah, so this is the other thing. So you may get a good trainer that comes in and they do provide a few tools, and that's great. But actually, the likelihood is that people are still going to leave the room. They might use the tool for a day or two, but then they just slip back into their old habits because we do what we're in the habit of doing. And again, knowing what you need to do and just having a few skills to do something differently. It doesn't change your behavior necessarily. So, if you know that you need to walk 10,000 steps a day, you already have the skills to do that. It doesn't mean you change your behavior. So, what we need to do, and this is where the behavioral science comes in, we need to help people to create a plan. We call it a habit building plan. And we help people to create habit building plans in about 5 minutes so that they have a roadmap, a blueprint of exactly what they need to do in order to put this small, new, helpful habit into practice so that they can establish a new way of thinking and doing. We've created our 9 action factor model, which we help people to implement in a really simple and practical way using our habit building plans. That is unique. I don't see anyone else doing that, but I see it as an absolutely essential. If you want to get maximal impact from the training that you provide. So it's not just another one of those. That was an interesting session. It was good to see other people have got the same issues as me. That's great. Leave the training, got some good intentions, put my notes in the drawer, never pick them up again. I just carry on doing what I always did. We've got to break that cycle. We've got to break the cycle. And to do that, we have to follow those four simple steps.
Okay, John, thanks very much for that. As we bring the podcast to a close then, we hope it's been helpful for people involved in HR and learning and development roles. Just talk to us briefly, of course, about the Habit Mechanic keynotes and training and workshops that you offer. Of course, they include all those four things that we've talked about because of the learning and understanding and insights you've developed over many decades of training and research. I know you cover things like stress. You might just want to cover some other subject areas that you deliver on as well, but just tell us how people can get in touch with you to bring you into their organization.
Yeah, so we help people to work on a wide range of things, starting with helping people to get their brains working well, so better habits around sleep, diet, and exercise, which sound easy to do, but they're not, because people not doing those things is costing the UK economy probably hundreds of billions of pounds per year right now. So they're clearly not very easy to do. And then managing stress, managing confidence to get helping people to get their brains working really well, helping people to unlock what we call their 25-hour brain, helping people to perform under pressure if that's important, but also helping people to improve how they work as teams. We have our team power model, helping leaders to become what we call team power leaders so that they can not only be at their best, but make it easier for others to be at their best. So we have that whole range of training that we offer. What we do is we just offer a free consultation where we will help you to design a training program for your people, absolutely free, where we will cover those four areas. So the best thing to do is if you've got a need for your people, you can see that they would benefit from something that we can help with, let's just have a phone conversation and we will help you to create some training, whether we work with you or not. We'll kind of show you how to create the blueprint, if you like. So yeah, the key thing is there'll be a link under this podcast. Just get in touch, book a call, let's have a conversation, and we will create something bespoke for you because your organization is unique. Your people are unique, so we want to create something that's unique for you that leaves people with not only practical tools, not well, leaves people not only with a better understanding of themselves, not only with practical tools they can use, but a clear habit building plan that allows them to put these things into practice and actually change what they think and what they do and unlock what we call their super habits, so that they can be healthier and happier and at their best more often, not just at work, but also at home. And that's the secret to creating a highly engaged workforce.
Well, John, thank you very much. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your insights today. And yes, please do get in touch with Dr. John Finn. As he says, the link you need will be in the podcast notes. And you can always visit the website, tougherminds.co.uk. Many thanks for listening.